Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is Julie Calamine, for once by myself here on the Tuesday Morning Show. I'm often here with either Susie or possibly Phil or Julie, but it's just me this week. I think I can handle it. We're going to have an interesting conversation this morning, and it's not in my usual area of expertise, so I hope that it'll go well and my questions will be good ones for this group. This morning, we're being joined by the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint, and we've got three really knowledgeable and talented folks in with us. Our first person is going to be Karin Wiedemeyer. Karin, you're the founder director. Good morning.
I am the mad scientist behind the project. Yes,
you
good
are.
Morning.
Good morning. And we have a very special guest, Jan Pellant, and you're going to be the conductor of Beethoven's Ninth, an upcoming presentation. Good morning, Jan.
Good morning. Thank you.
So nice to have you. Now, that's a voice we'll be able to recognize on air. And finally, Janice Wall, you're the director of Music Matters. Good morning, Janice.
Good morning. Thank you.
All right. Well, we're going to launch in, but first, of course, listeners who tune in on Tuesdays, you know that I have to do the weather report. So we'll get to that and then on with the interview. Okay, you may have noticed we're in a bit of a heat wave, and today is no exception. Today on Tuesday, we're going to have sunny weather, high near 92, calm, and then a little wind kicking up in the afternoon. Tonight, it's going to cool off to 61, no nights in the 50s right now. Wednesday, oh, once again, a hot one, 91, but we're going to have windier weather, and then a low around 57, back into the 50s. That's good at night. We need to cool off. Thursday, a high of 82, so it is starting to cool off with a little light winds and the lows in the 50s. Friday, we'll see a change, and it's a high near 73 with a little chance of showers. And Saturday, 70s. Sunday, same thing in the 70s. So our hot streak is coming to an end. If you're enjoying the heat, you better get out and go swimming before that time of the year ends for us all. All right. Well, with that, with an interesting weather report, we're going to jump into what's going to be a fun interview. And I've told Karin that she's kind of in charge of this interview because it's not an area of expertise for me. So I will say to you, Karin, take it away in any manner that you wish, and I'll support you.
Okay. You may not like to hear, but we're going to turn up the heat next week with a really fabulous concert, and that's Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, which hasn't been performed in Sandpoint in a very long time. And it was outside, I think, a couple of decades ago this time. It is going to be at the Panada, so under Maestro Jan Pellant. So that's very exciting. Now, there is a higher purpose to this particular performance. For one thing is, it speaks to its unifying power, but it's also a benefit concert to our Music Matters program, which is a very powerful after-school program. So all of those two together make it a wonderful opportunity to bring people together and to embrace a higher meaning and higher purpose of this particular piece.
Yes.
And I know Jan will talk about the orchestra and all the musicians in there. And then this is umbrellaed, you know, yes, by the school, but also really by Music Matters, which is under the loving care of Janice Wall.
Who's right here in the studio.
Yes.
So lucky to have you. I'm going to ask you this a couple of times during the interview so that folks have it set in their mind. What is the date and time? And we already know the location is the Panada, but we want to mention this a few times.
So the first performance is really for family, and that is on August the 19th. And there you're going to be hearing the first movement and the fourth movement, and it's a little surprise performance. It looks like we'll be adding the Friday afternoon songs by Benjamin Britten, which the children will be performing. So, and then on the 20th, it's going to be both at 7 o'clock. At 20th is the whole performance, all movements.
The main one. All right. Mm-hmm. And there is a fee for that, and that must go to the conservatory.
It is $35 for the ticket, and I have to look because there is a student price, and I think it's $15, and also for seniors. So And we won't keep the doors closed to anyone, just so you know.
That's great. I have to back up for a moment. My ignorance is going to start to show immediately, but who is Benjamin Britten? Is he a classical songwriter? Who is he?
Absolutely. Benjamin Britten is one of the greatest British composers in classical music, exactly as you mentioned. Fantastic. And he has a lot of beautiful, colorful pieces, very songful and very easy to play in some way. And actually, maybe Janice, would you like to tell a little bit more about specifically this piece, please?
Yes. The Friday afternoon songs are, you know, it's kind of interesting that our initial concert is going to be on Friday afternoon. But Benjamin Britten had a brother who was a schoolmaster in Suffolk. And he asked Benjamin if he would write some songs because they, on Friday afternoons, the children would get together and sing. So he wrote these pieces. They're kind of strange and fun. One like Cuckoo, and the kids sing Cuckoo all the way through the piece. But they, the idea is that they're educational in that they have, you know, interesting meter changes and just some melodies that are, you know, a little different. A lot of, they're challenging, but yet simple.
Okay, and accessible for kids, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Neat.
Yeah.
All right, now carry on. I just had to know. I couldn't go through the whole interview and be ignorant of who he is or was.
Sure.
So we did the Benjamin Britten pieces, I think, almost 10 years ago, and they were very successful just because they were genuinely unique and because the kids really, really enjoyed them. So we like to introduce music that is not always performed here, not heard often. That's part of the educational purpose, to expose students to new concept, new unique composers, and have them join in and find it to be a really joyful, exploratory experience, for sure.
Yeah, something for kids to get excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds great.
So I'd like to, if I may, talk a little bit about the Music Matters after-school program, because we'd like to highlight this. We have been engaging children in our after-school program now probably for 12 years. The school is just about today, actually. Nope, that's not true, on September 21st. But we are turning 17, which is a pretty high number now. So we are not too far from two decades. And in 2019, on August 12th, we actually bought our building. That's why that name stuck in my head. So,
well, congratulations. That's quite a benchmark.
That is a benchmark. Absolutely. On September 21st, the school officially turns 17. So that's the second benchmark, which we'll be celebrating as well. The after-school programs, I find nowadays to be really important. I don't think that people are necessarily aware of that it takes two incomes nowadays for a family to be financially viable. And people think, oh, it's fine, you know, after school, the kids can just play around. No, they really can't. And we've put a lot of energy in creating a wholesome, educational, and really wonderful after-school program with orchestras, with choirs, with percussion, theater, and more, to invite our youth and also adults to participate. So this is a very nurturing and safe environment. We actually also work with a food bank, and we offer snacks, wholesome snacks after school. So when the kids are coming after school, they're often depleted. We call this program Food for Thought. You can't think unless you have some food in your belly. And certainly if you wanted to participate in anything afterwards that does take some mental power, you need to be taken care of all around. And so we've created a very nurturing environment for students to come and, you know, we come alongside to see them thrive.
And is that for any students in the Sandpoint School District?
Absolutely.
How about homeschoolers?
Absolutely. We have everybody. And here I may invite Janice to speak a little bit more of all the participants.
Yeah, so we go to the Kootenai School, Kootenai Elementary, and the Farman Sidwell Elementary in the afternoons, and they have their after-school program. We get a lot of children join the choir or percussion.
And you go to them. We go to them.
But we have a lot of homeschools students who join in there, and they come to those schools and participate. So we're thinking about how we can offer that for other schools besides, you know, because some of them get out later than that space that we do. So we're exploring that idea. But it's interesting to blend the two, you know, the children from the public school and the children from the homeschool, and they, you know, become friends and have a good experience.
Yeah, pretty important. I would think that the socialization that you're able to offer for those homeschoolers would be good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah. Well, tell us more.
Other things that we offer at MCS, we have the ensemble choir, which is 12 and up. So we do a little more difficult, you know, with three parts or whatever for them. And they participate in extra things rather than just the regular concerts. There might be, you know, community things that they are involved in. Like our Amal, I'm sure you're going to talk about that. Amal and the Night Visitors, they're always the villagers and that. And then we have the handbell choir. So we do that after school. And, of course, the orchestra. So that's our range of things that we offer there. And, of course, the music theater. And so we had a good time last session of the Summer Academy. We did Willy Wonka. And the kids are still talking about that. So it was a lot of fun. So we have a wide spectrum of things that we do.
That does sound like a lot of fun. How do kids come by their instruments? The orchestra kids.
Do you want
to? Sure. Music Conservatory of Sandpoint has a very large music instrument library. Usually kids, if they're looking for their own instruments, there is a opportunity to use the school's instrument. Mm-hmm. And mostly every instrument is available: flutes, oboes, violas, violins, cellos, every instrument basically. So this is, I think, absolutely available.
That's a big deal because mm-hmm. A child or a child's parent, exactly, I would think, wouldn't necessarily want to invest if they're not sure the kid is going to stick with it for a while.
Right.
And this is really important. We try to create a high level of accessibility. So removing any barriers, such as any financial barrier or, for an instrument, parents often don't necessarily know what exact is a good fit, and then a child outgrows that instrument quickly, and we really handle all of that. These instruments are free to loan, and they're good quality instruments. We have currently 270 plus instruments in our library. We also have some odd ones. We have accordions. We have everything imaginable, right? So to have fun and to explore. And that helps parents to say yes, because they don't have to worry about spending hundreds of dollars on, be it a violin, and worry about a child may or may not bond with that particular instrument. And then, of course, Music Matters is grant supported, so we're keeping the accessibility really high. Hence, we have the benefit concert, so with the proceeds of the tickets, a large portion goes towards Music Matters. Many musicians are donating their time. And these are all important contributions to have our doors wide open to all the really incredible talent that lives in our community to feel invited.
Yes, talent that we might not even know about. I am curious how a kid finds his instrument. How does that process work for you all?
So there are various steps beforehand. So we have a program that I brought with me from Germany. It's called Instrument Carousel. And let's say we have a 4-year-old, 5 or 6-year-old. They go through a 10-week session, which can be repeated, where they get explore three different instruments. And we take a look and see which one they are bonding with. Children are really often the guiding light. And so it has a little sparkle of Montessori in there, because we follow them and we see, aha, the child is single tonal or multi-tonal. And then we to continuous exposure, they land on their instrument. Then the teacher comes in and says, we do a fitting, right, to make sure if a child does go for a violin, then there's a fitting and there's assistance. And we also have maintenance on site. So in that way, we have a high level of self-sufficiency. And the parent should be reassured that whatever instrument child picks, even if it hasn't gone through instrument carousel, that there's a whole team behind to make sure the child is thriving.
That's great. That mm-hmm. just sounds like the best situation for anyone learning their, well, selecting and then learning their instrument.
It's really important to find the right instrument, because when I do admissions conversations, I ask a child a pertinent question, and that is, your instrument has to be your best friend. Why do you think I say that? And there's a big question mark above their head, and then, well, because we want to play together, and say, yes, that's exactly it. It has to be your best friend, because every day you want to spend time together, you want to hang out together, and you want to play together. And if that is a good match, then you're going to thrive. If it's not a good match, you are going to eventually abandon. And if that happens, if we see there's kind of a thought behind, I'm not sure, maybe I need to do this, then we're going to work with the child to help them upgrade their instrument or to through a transition.
That sounds like a great way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I'm going to let you jump back in.
So I want to also give Jan the opportunity to talk about Beethoven's Ninth, because it's such a profound piece that's coming our way. And there are certain elements to it, because we are bringing adults and youth together. Yeah. And Jan, and I will have to say that, is truly a brilliant conductor, because he inspires children to achieve what they can't even think they could. And they tend to be very different musicians after the experience. They might go in there thinking, oh, there's no way, there's just no way I can do this. And then they did it, and then they look like Christmas trees illuminated. Because, and we've seen it over and over again, you know, throughout when Jan came as a guest conductor. We will have him now on a continuous basis. That's what we are working on. So the experiences have been very, very exciting, challenging. But our children are ready and need challenges, real challenges.
Yes. Well, Jan is sitting across the studio from me, and he actually looks like what I would imagine a conductor to look like. And he's got a great smile and a sparkle in his eye. I bet the kids enjoy learning with you.
Yes, thank you very much. For the kind words. Yes, it's really blessed and honor to be working with amazingly talented and dedicated, committed students from the Music Concert of Sandpoint. It's an amazing school. And yes, as Karin was saying, the students of the school are so far very much enjoying this projects with adults, the professionals playing side by side. And I am very grateful that they accept this gentle challenge that we are a little bit putting on them in a very gentle, of course, friendly way. I think they understand, the students, that of course music is a great, enjoyable and fun thing to do. At the same time, it is also hard work in some way, and it requires a lot of preparation, etc., etc. Therefore, I feel like all these amazingly talented students are so far open to play even, one would say, almost unplayable things in a good way, but they really want to try and they can do it. And the level is amazingly increasing up, and it's just great.
Well, it must really be fun for both you and them, for them to be improving.
With my European accent, I'm trying to talk to them, so I guess they are never bored.
I bet.
Yeah, they are very, very nice, very, very talented, and it's wonderful. Yes, and coming briefly back to Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, this piece is, I think it's played first time in Sandpoint indoors. As Karin was saying, it was performed here many decades ago, but that was outdoors. So indoors concert would be probably first time ever in Sandpoint of this Beethoven 9th Symphony. And it's a challenging piece, definitely. It has orchestra, choir, and four singing soloists. Karin is going to be one of the soloists. She has amazing voice, and three other colleagues of her. And Janice is doing fantastic job preparing the choir, and I'm working with the orchestra. So we have a fantastic team, and we have a great community of support. It's a big chance that this concert's going to be really something very special, I would say. Really.
Boy, it sounds like it. Is it a full orchestra? How many people, kids and adults, will that be?
Sure, sure. It's actually almost full. Originally, this Beethoven's Ninth Symphony could have 70, 80 musicians, and we have like 60, 62.
Wow.
So we are almost, right?
I think actually more.
Even more, even more. Mm-hmm. So maybe we are even exceeding adults, 45 professional musicians, and I think 10 or 15 students are joining. This choir, it would be, I think we would have close to 100 musicians.
There won't even be room for headache in the Panada. So there will be a lot of people, but that's what the energy also
exactly.
is. It's supposed to create that energy, you know, and I think that's, we hope it's going to happen, right? It's definitely a musical adventure in many ways.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Exactly. I think it's a very songful piece. This main theme, is staying very much in the people's soul, I believe, and that's not easy to play. Yeah, that's true, but easy to listen, I believe. So
oh,
a big
soulful.
Chance there will be some kind of outstanding energy, exactly.
Yes, Janice.
Well, it's particularly challenging for the sopranos. Because it's, you know, the tessitura, that's, you know, where it hangs, is very high.
And what does tessitura mean for those of us who don't attend?
That means kind of where it's hanging,
range.
You know, the range. It stays up in the high range. So it's kind of, we joke around that we're going to take turns, you know. It's like, okay, it's your turn to hold the A, you know.
Yeah, it's so, hard to hold those high notes for a long time.
Yes,
for a very long time.
Very, yeah. So yeah. Beethoven was deaf, so, you know, we joke that he didn't like sopranos or basses, so, you know.
Now, where will all the adults be coming from? Are they from the region? Or where are they? Are they in the community?
So really all around, yes. So some from Coeur d'Alene, some from Bonnes Ferries, some from Sandpoint. And so I would say it's definitely a regional effort combined. Then, of course, you know, we have an opera program, so Bel Canto. So those singers are participating, the ensemble choir, those singers are participating. So hopefully, you know, we'll have a really good turnout on Wednesday. We'll have the first combined rehearsal orchestra with choir. And we have to all fit into Little Carnegie, and I'm trying to figure out how this is going to work. but here we are, right? We're going to make it work one way or another.
Sardines.
Yes.
Yeah, for the practice. How is an outdoor concert different from what you're planning indoors? Is the sound quality quite different?
I would think so. I would think so. If I may start with the brief conversation about the overtones. Overtones are these... as we know, these extra notes that are coming above each elementary note. I don't think this is always available to be heard when it is outdoors. When it is indoors, the sound would, of course, hit some wall, some part of the roof. So therefore, I would say, starting from this, there is a little difference. And I personally, if I can just speak for myself, I feel like having concert indoors, especially in a spiritually built building, which I think Panada is as well, I like this space very much, is just, concert is, in my opinion, not only having great music, but also being part of some, how to call it, ritual in a good way. I'm not saying that indoors, outdoors concert cannot do that. I love outdoors concert too, but I'm a little bit conservative. I'm sorry to be too open. I prefer a lot the indoors concert in this way.
In these special places that have
meaning.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, makes sense.
Exactly.
And it's true. I the Panada is a spiritual, special, unique space.
Oh, absolutely.
With all of this history, and it's exactly. A unique building. And yes, we will be packing the stage for sure, but we also hope to pack the Panada. So we'd like to create a lot of buzz for people to come and join us.
Yes.
This experience and celebrate, you know, that level of unity that is so important right now during high levels of cultural anxiety. So we have to answer to that and be an inspiration and say, there are these moments in life where we can come together without any afterthoughts. We'll just come together. Music is that beautiful tool. And again, I'll go back to the Music Matters After School, because that is an intersection where children come from all different corners to come together. They form conversation, they get to know each other, they form friendships, and they are really unambiguous. And that's a really wonderful way, and that is just a particular power of music, and these after-school programs lend themselves to that. When you talk to a person face-to-face, then the conversations are different than when you observe a person through technology or through other media in any way. Then it's a one-way conversation. It's really important to have true conversations in human interactions. So I'm taking the point right now, we need to push back a little bit against the overbearing influence of technology that creates one-way conversations. And our children need social skills, and we need to prepare them for what's to come. So I do feel music is this incredibly powerful tool to create, interactions and trust. There's an erosion of trust, and children may not even know how to trust other human beings because they don't have enough experience. So I feel that a little pushback there is really necessary, so children have that feel of they get to have friends, they can interact, they understand social skills, and that's all part of the learning that happens in a very natural way. When you bring people together, the way they interact is a different ballgame.
Yes, and around music, what could be nicer and more beneficial to be learning your music and learning about others in a very neutral, safe place?
Absolutely. So that's been what we've been dedicating ourselves to. And one of the highlights, of course, again, is the Beethoven's Ninth that augments, the whole sense of coming together and to create that really synergy to break through some of the barriers that we are finding right now and to say, yes, we can, instead of no, we can't. We have to say yes.
Yes, and build the trust and let folks get to know each other around music. But it sounds perfect. Well, folks, I think we'll take a short song break. And what I have loaded for y'all listeners is a bit of Beethoven of the Ninth Symphony in D minor. This runs 23 minutes, but I won't run it for 23 minutes. We'd run out of talking time. But we'll listen to a few minutes and then come back and continue with what else is happening. And we'll be reminded of the dates, etc. So let's give it a shot. Beethoven's Ninth. And I'm not sure. Vladimir Horowitz. Do you know him, Horowitz? Yeah, very well. Another famous one, I'm assuming.
Pianist.
Okay, here we go. Oh, and for those of you just joining us, this is KRFY, listener-supported community radio here in Sandpoint in the Idaho Panhandle. And if you haven't been able to notice, we are talking with the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint with Karin Wiedemeyer, who is the founder, Jan Pellant, the conductor for the upcoming symphony, and Janet. And that was part of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, not done by the conservatory, but done by Horowitz. Beautiful, though, wasn't it, listeners? And we're back here in studio with our three guests from Music Conservatory of Sandpoint. And Karin, you've got several more topics you'd like to cover.
It is difficult to see past Beethoven's Ninth because it's so intense now. I did want to mention that it was often played also, especially after World War II. So there was a real great need for the coming back together. And it is the Ode to Joy. You know, I think it, many people also know it as such. Music Matters, by the way, performed it in spring with youth orchestra and youth choir. And with section leaders, and that was a really incredible experience. Also for the kids, they sing it by memory in German. And wow. I just wanted to say that was a true accomplishment.
Of course, it was just the fourth movement, and it was keyed down a whole step to make it easier.
Because it was simplified.
So.
Yeah. But it was impressive that I did not anticipate the children to actually dedicate themselves to learning it in German, but they did. And I thought that was really wonderful. I want to inject a thought. Many years ago, I think it's 10 years ago, we took students to Mexico to participate in the El Sistema program there. The El Sistema is an after-school music program that originated in Venezuela. And its goal was to take kids off the streets to make sure they wouldn't fall prey to gangs and so forth. So it was an after-school program every day for 3 hours. They would play an orchestra, and the outcome was extraordinary musicians. So it spread. It became a global movement, and it was also in Mexico. And we went. We took our children there to participate, and I was kind of said, well, I wonder how they're doing every day, three, four hours. How does that feel? Afterwards, when I asked them, they all looked at me and they said, what are you guys waiting for? And I thought that was a profound statement. And I really thought, okay, you are right. What are we waiting for? Why are we not offering this? Why are we not challenging you to your full potential? We are barely scratching your potential. And they understood that. We as adults didn't. And that is now something I really want to put out there. I think we are barely scratching the surface of what our children are capable of doing. And there, I think we can do a lot more. And that's what we are planning on doing. Past Beethoven's Ninth is we are heading into our fall semester. We are starting enrollment for orchestra, for choirs and so forth. It's a very affordable program. We also have arts access, so we have scholarships. So we want to be sure every talent out there has access, you know, and everybody who wants to participate feels invited.
And how does that process work? What do kids or parents need to know?
So they should come to the school. Once they say, we want to participate, they come to our school, they get an enrollment package, and they get automatically an arts access form. It's a very simple form, and they fill it out, and then we allow access to the program. Right now, I think it's $195 for the whole year. That includes an instrument, and includes just performances, anything, right, affiliated to it. They can have access to more than one program, so $195 might be orchestra, but they might also want to do choir, and that's all included. We waive that, or we reduce it through arts access if need be. That's never a problem. I'm the last person in the universe who will say no. I shouldn't have said that. That might put me into trouble right now, but it is true, because That's just my, you know, philosophy in the school was built on that philosophy to really be inviting, and Music Matters does exactly that. And Janice is just a wonderful director, and she's known now through this throughout the community for wonder and magic she does with the Music Matters. Now, past that, we have a lot of exciting events going on. And Jan is in charge of many of them, and some of them are very much affiliated with his cultural heritage. So I'm definitely needing to hand over the microphone.
Thank you. I was also going to say what I think is amazing on Music Concerto of Sandpoint is that it brings also a little bit of this great European cultural uniqueness. And if I can speak now a little bit for the future professional musicianship for any students, when there are auditions to orchestras, universities, any musical institutions, most of the literature, I'm sorry to be very honest, are set up from the European composers. It's very often at the auditions that there is a requirement for J.S. Bach, for Beethoven, for Mozart, Tchaikovsky, Rachmaninoff, and that's everything what this amazing school is providing. It's very unique, and it is also specialty. So yes, thank you, Karin, for mentioning that, and I'm coming to these ideas, to these plans for the school that is going to be related to European culture a little bit. So one of the concerts will be on September 28th. That will include Czech folk composer. His name is Leoš Janáček, and he was implying human speech, like as if, like when we are talking here together, he was implying this to his music. So the melodies of the human speech would be captured into the music. It's, to me, it sounds a little interesting in both ways, if I can be honest. But it's a very unique composer, Leoš Janáček, and he wrote two beautiful string quartets for two violins, one viola and cello. So this will be September 28th at the Music Conservatory of St. Point. The next concert that will be related to Middle European part is Czech Christmas Mass by Jan Jakub Ryba. He's again Czech composer, Jan Jakub Ryba. He wrote this mass purposely easy to be played, that anyone can play, anyone can sing, anyone can conduct.
And will it involve adults and children or adults?
Absolutely, absolutely, yes. both.
Great.
I'm trying to always suggest to have students, children, with adults, with professionals, playing, singing side by side to have everyone like a chamber music together. And there's also plannings on doing opera by Leoš Janáček. I'm sorry, I'm too much pushing for this composer, but probably he's very unique. Leoš Janáček, and it's called... how to say it in English? Cunning Vixen?
The Cunning Vixen.
Oh, my.
The Cunning Vixen.
That sounds exciting.
Very nice story. Although it has also some deeper part. The music is a little bit philosophical, but very songful at the same time. Again, Leoš Janáček, very unique composer that has short motifs, short melodies that are suddenly interrupted by other melodies. And it's kind of like a quick sketches, but very, very logically put together, I would say.
It sounds like it would hold one's interest if there's a lot happening in that way. It must be exciting.
A little bit of this, exactly. And many, many other plannings of American and European programmings. Janice, would you like to?
Also,
I'm talking too much here.
No, you're fine.
So
you're fine.
Before we hear from Janice, I just want the listeners to have sort of a picture of what's happening in the studio. We have Karin and Janice. They're sitting quite calmly listening to Jan. And Jan is telling us about the various upcoming events, and his hands are going, his head is moving. He is very conductor-like in this moment. Very, very cute, very fun. Yeah.
Janice, do you want to talk about Amal? That's Janice and I have been working for years on this together. That's by Menotti. It's a Christmas opera, children's Christmas opera that we've been doing now. I think it's fifth or sixth time. And last year, we for the first time, we took it outside of Sandpoint as well. Mm-hmm. And your turn.
yes, it's I don't know. For me, I'm moved by it every time. You know, we do two performances every year at Christmas time. I think this time is, what, the 20th and 21st? Mm-hmm. Will those both be at the Lutheran Church?
First Lutheran. On the 21st. I don't think on the 20th. On the 21st, it's Sunday.
Okay.
And that's another great venue for music, I would think. Mm-hmm. Big space, beautiful.
Yes.
We've been working with them, and we've been helping them and supporting them and upgrading their piano. And Daniel Hughes is a new music director there, so he's also So we are working sync and sync to expand, you know, the classical music world overall in Sandpoint. To have a second venue, a capable venue, is very helpful.
Yes, it can. Would you say it can accommodate more people?
Yes. So Little Carnegie has a very distinct feel to it. It's a little more intimate. It can handle about 90 people in the audience, and it has its own flavor. And, you know, First Lutheran Church is a church, so it has more of that flavor. So it lends itself also to maybe more sacred music at times. But also, of course, it can handle a choir and an orchestra.
Yes, exactly.
And we have also included in that concert the handbells, which really go well at the Lutheran Church. You know, it just fills the space, and it's just exciting. So Amal is just a story about a young boy who's crippled, and his mother, they've run out of food and wood and everything, but then the three wise men come knocking at the door, and Amal winds up going with him. Oh, I'm not supposed to tell the story.
Oh, no.
It's a surprise.
She's given away some of the conclusion.
Well, the ending is so beautiful in that sense. It's true. It comes as a surprise, I guess. Well, maybe Menotti is pretty well known at this point, and I think a lot of Sandpointonians have had a lot of exposure to Amal, so they might know the ending. And I'm surprised because every year I say, oh, okay, they've seen it many times. Are they still coming? And every year more are coming because it's so beautiful and wonderful for children, because generally we have used a young soprano boy. So sometimes then young soprano boys, yes, they change voice.
Their voices have changed.
And off they go. And so then we have to look around and see. So this year we have Perpetua Wagonier sing the role for the first time. So it'll be a different, we'll have a different feel to it. Our first Amal was Cody Ontiveros when he was 12 years old. And we trained him to be a countertenor. So he is now 20, and he's singing as a countertenor.
Ah,
so sometimes they stay in their voice, and he is kind of a mezzo-soprano-ish voice.
All right, mm-hmm. So a somewhat higher voice for a guy.
Yeah, it's like like a female voice, mm-hmm. Right? So countertenors are rare, and they're often heard in early music. And they have a distinct sound, and it's really breathtaking. And Cody is really a wonderful countertenor.
Well, that is great news. Mm-hmm. And you trained him.
Yes, we have him. Yes. Brenda Rutledge has trained him. I've trained him when he was very young. And so I will say it's a combined effort for sure. He's also a really fantastic young musician rising. And he's also a wonderful natural teacher, so I'm going to give a shout-out to Cody in case you're hearing it. But it's wonderful to see some talent, extraordinary talent, you know, rise up, and who may not have ever known that about themselves or himself if he had not had exposure and training and people coming alongside him.
And it sounds as though he has a career in music as a result.
Yes, he will.
Yeah.
And he's also a wonderful percussion player, timpanic player, and pianist. He will be playing in Beethoven's Ninth Symphony timpani, mm-hmm. percussion part.
Cody, and he's been my apprentice, yeah, for the last year, and this year he'll be a student teacher. So, wow. Yeah, he's so going on.
Music Matters has a strong internship and apprenticeship program. So our students, when they graduate, they can become an intern, and they receive free lessons, they receive a stipend, and continue their growth. Before they decide, you know, do they want to go to a university, we can take them very far. We have the capacity at the school to take a student to professional grade level. So, but sometimes it's good for students to leave the nest to explore, you know, other also urban communities. This summer, thank you to Jan, we were able to go to Prague and on a little concert tour, and we took students with us, and it was an experience beyond words for those singers who went and to perform in places which their music was meant for, to be performed in. So when you actually go to and sing in a chapel from the 13th century, the feel is very different. You don't have to generate that feel when you sing. You're adding, you're contributing to something that's already there. Singing is just very natural, and you can understand why it's born in those places.
Yes, that must have been very inspiring for those kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yes, some.
I would think so.
Well, standing ovations, very successful tour. Congratulations.
Wow, that is excellent. Well, we're coming to an end of our hour. It's gone so quickly. I guess we should start to have some closing comments, and I'd ask you to repeat the details of the event again, Karin.
Yes, please come and join us for Beethoven's Ninth. The Family Day is going to be on August 19th on Tuesday at 7 o'clock at the Panada. And you can get tickets on our website, sandpointconservatory.org. You can just come into our office as well, and we will help you there. Then the big full performance is on August 20th, also at 7 o'clock at the Panada. And we look forward to seeing you there. And please bring all your friends, bring everybody that you could think of, and join us for this extraordinary experience.
It truly does sound extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Jan, anything you would like to add?
Let's make sure that the roof will fall down and the concern situation.
There you go.
I'm excited. Yeah, please join us. Well, it should be amazing.
You're making me excited.
Thank you.
It really sounds fun. And Janice, any last words from you?
Well, I hope that people will want to join the Music Matters program and take full advantage of what we offer.
Very good. Well, I want to thank you all for joining us this morning. This has been the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint, and I've introduced them already, but it's been Karin Wiedemeyer. She's the founder-director. Jan Pellant, conductor with much enthusiasm, and Janice Wall, director of Music Matters. We're going to go to a song break, and hope you've all enjoyed this and that you'll be able to make it to the concert. Have a great day, everybody.